Tacoma teacher Nate Gibbs Bowling was at a conference when he sat down next to a teacher from Baltimore.
And she's been teaching for 17 years and has never had a white student. That's insane to me. The segregation in schools is so stark that she's been teaching for 17 years and has never had a white student.
Around that time, Nate was also seeing photos from Detroit schools, students sitting next to buckets collecting water from a leaky ceiling. All of this made Nate angry. So he sat down and wrote about school segregation and how teachers can stop it. That blog post, titled "The Conversation I'm Tired of Not Having," hit a nerve among teachers across the country. I asked Nate, what does segregation look like in Washington State?
Well, I live in the city of Tacoma, and the city of Tacoma is, I believe, about 65% white, and I teach at a high school that's 27% white. And so it happens here. If you walk the hallways of schools in South Seattle, they look very different than the hallways in schools in North Seattle.
Why do you say in your post that white America is basically happy with segregated schools?
It seems that they are. White America is happy with segregated neighborhoods as well. Essentially, our schools are neighborhood schools, so we have segregated schools because we have segregated neighborhoods. Essentially, what I see happening is there are a large number of white Americans, and I'm not calling them racist, I'm just saying that this is the reality. There's a large number of white Americans who are very comfortable not living around people of color.
How could we change that situation?
I'm not sure there is a way to change the situation with segregated housing that society is going to be willing to accept, but there are ways to change the same situation with segregated schools. Integration and busing worked, and we dismantled the working system.
You say that our worst schools need our best teachers.
Absolutely.
You're teaching advanced placement classes. What are you doing to get to the kids most in need?
So teaching is relational. I build a relationship with my students, and I show them that I value them. And then once I've sold them on me, the teacher, then I sell them on the content. I'm teaching government right now, but with the relationships I have with the students, tomorrow I could walk in and say, hey, I'm going to teach you all algebra, or hey, I'm going to teach you all chemistry. And like, I believe fundamentally, because of the relationships I build with students, that we could get through it together. Teaching is relational.
How do you do that?
You have to value the students. You have to show them who you are and show that you care who they are and that you value their experiences and where they come from. Personally, for me, it's easier. I grew up a mile and a half from the school. I live in the neighborhood that I teach. So for me, I often think about, it sounds funny to say this, but like counterinsurgency doctrine. When you're doing counterinsurgency work, you win hearts first and then minds.
You wrote in your blog post, if you ain't talking about the teacher in the classroom, I ain't listening. What do you mean by that?
There's a ton of educational issues that are going back and forth, fights over charters, fights over standards, fights over evaluations. But the most important factor affecting student achievement within the school is the quality of the teacher in the classroom. And so if we're not having a conversation about the quality of the teacher in the classroom, then I'm really not interested in it.
Well, one way of measuring the quality of a teacher is a standardized test. What's a better way of measuring or assessing a teacher's quality?
One of the things I'm really fond of is student perception surveys. Students sit through instruction day after day, period after period. Students know what good teaching looks like and what bad teaching looks like. I'm not a big fan of using standardized tests as a measure of teacher effectiveness. I think there's much better ways of doing it. I think peer observations are a good idea. And one thing I would say is that the evaluation system we have today in schools is very, very time-consuming. And so if we want to have really effective and really meaningful evaluations, we have to put more administrators in the building because, like, take my school, for example. We have 80 teachers, and we have 4 administrators. So that means every administrator is evaluating 20 teachers. Like, that's hard work. And so what we need is we need to have an evaluation system that is doable for principals, that includes feedback from students, and also in some places they've piloted peer-to-peer evaluations. I would love to work in a system in which I was able to go in and watch my peers work and have my peers watch me work.
You said that you find yourself tuning out of these big policy conversations about education. What are you going to do differently to address the racial and economic differences in the U.S. education system?
Well, one of the things that I would say is that I don't have the power to change a lot of minds. So I guess the thing for me is if so much the racial politics in the United States are like the gun control debate, it's intransigent. Like, nothing is going to change. And so I'm not saying that conversations about Common Core don't matter, and I'm not saying conversations about charters don't matter. I'm saying that the only thing that I know how to do is teach, and that I'm going to put my effort and my energy into affecting policies that keep the best teachers in the classroom and give them in our most needy schools.
Nate Gibbs Bowling is the 2016 Washington State Teacher of the Year, and he wrote that blog post that's gone all over the place called "The Conversation I'm Tired of Not Having." He teaches AP Government and Human Geography at Lincoln High School in Tacoma.